Hey everybody, welcome to the Cripescast presented by Jolly Good. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. Now before we get into our guest today, I just want to say that first and foremost, my heart goes out to all the victims in the Waukesha Christmas Parade incident. If you live in Wisconsin, consider donating blood this week. They've had blood donation shortages ever since COVID, but you know when incidents like this happen, it can really hamstring supply. So if you can get out there, it's a great thing to do during the holiday season. It is the easiest way to save a life, and that's not hyperbole. And we've got some sites linked up in the podcast description where you can go and get that done. Before I jump into my conversation with Milwaukee artist Emma Daisy Girdle, I just want to briefly discuss one other topic. And over the past week, I had a bunch of people reach out wanting me to say something about the whole Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. And, you know, I've said stuff about that in the past, and as much as I'd want to throw another hot take into the trash heap of underinformed internet hot takes, I'll spare you that. But, I'll reiterate that I'm in favor of peaceful protests. I'm not in favor of undertrained civilians playing police officer. I think if people want to carry, they got a right to do so. But I think there should be way more training and background checks in order to walk around with a weapon. I don't think the weapon that kid was carrying around really needs to be around. You know, those are my opinions. You're welcome to yours. But what I really want to address is one message in particular I got that said something to the effect of I should come out strong with my feelings on the Rittenhouse case and be willing to lose half my followers. And I think that mentality may be coming from a good place, but I think it's misguided. And the reason I bring it up is I saw a bunch of other folks posting, you know, whatever their opinion was and saying something to the effect of, if I lose half my followers, so be it. And, you know, this has sort of been a mentality that's been around for all these hot button issues that have come out over the past year, a couple years, really. And while I get that you need to stand for what's right, and I think we have on this show, I mean, with respect to Black Lives Matter, the environment, veterans issues, a whole host of other things, I just don't know if you disagree with me, to hell with you, is really the attitude that's going to get us very far. And I think if that attitude did get us very far, it would have gotten us far already, because that's the attitude people have had for a very long time. And we just seem to be way more divided than anything else. You know, simply stated, I think going out of our way to alienate those who don't agree with us is missing an opportunity to get them to see the world through a different perspective. While it's tempting to jump on the internet right after a national tragedy or a ruling or a court conviction or acquittal or whatever it is, while all that is enticing and you feel like you're on the right side of the history and you're doing the right thing and there you said it, now you can move on, I just think we're starting to see a new reality occur with respect to social media polarization. And that's that, you know, when we jump out with our opinions, whoever it is, anybody, you may not even have, you know, a background in COVID or in law in or Wisconsin law in this case or whatever, you just throw all these opinions out there and these very hard-nosed opinions, you know, we're just not getting far. I mean, these platforms have polarized us over the past several years. And I think that this us versus them mentality may just lead and is leading to more echo chambers and creating bubbles when what we really need to make here are bridges. So with that, you know, we got Thanksgiving coming up and there will be no shortage of uncomfortable political conversations mixed with a ton of booze. So, you know, maybe instead of taking the hardest stance, you know, we just take a breath and listen. And once people know you're listening, I've found this, you know, they're more willing to listen to you, and you may also hear something you've never heard before. So it's at least worth a shot, you know, because, again, we've tried it the other way and we're still here. So because if we truly want change, we're going to need to change the hearts of those who think differently. And it's really hard to change their hearts if you just told them to, yeah, go burn in heck, you son of a gun. Anyway, let's get to our guest today. Emma Daisy Girdle, it was a pleasure talking to her. She is an artist in Milwaukee. You have seen her murals all around the city. They are lovely, and she also does a bunch of other art. We got to discuss that, the importance of art and what it means for community and how it can bring people together and a whole host of other things. So ladies and gentlemen, here is my conversation with Emma Daisy Girdle. Why don't we just start with what you're working on right now?
So what am I working on right now? I just got a shipment of this fabric called Polytab, which is girl fabric, to do a project at Fiddleheads, one of the Fiddleheads cafes that are around town. This will be for the Menominee Falls location, and it was supposed to be painted on their building. This is an alternative because it's like a Cream City sort of brick building. Gonna paint it in my studio over the winter and then install it in the spring. And then, you know, I've got a few other irons in the fire in terms of projects that are kind of coming up. I'm considering going to Art Basel this year. Don't know if that's gonna happen or not.
Wait, what is that?
Art Basel in Miami Beach. So Art Basel, I think, started in Switzerland.
Close enough. Sounds like it. Sounds Swiss.
Yeah. I don't sound like a very good artist. I don't know these things. But they do these huge events around the world. And there's, you know, a handful of locations. Huge art events. You know, like the just kind of who's who of art, the art world. Collectors kind of flock from all over. People come from all over the world to show. There's always like a lineup. It's like where that, I don't know if you remember a couple years ago, the banana that was taped to the wall.
Yes, yes, yes. That's where that was. Okay.
That was like a Art Basel thing.
Got it. So like that's kind of an interesting dynamic in the art world is like, how do you go from being like a super talented artist to a super talented artist that's desired by these collectors?
Right. I don't know if is there an answer to that question?
I don't know. I'm just like, does it just happen? Or is it like it happens slowly over time where you get a mural and people appreciate it there? Do you get publicity that way? Like, I'm trying to think, like, how would it work for comedy? Will you start building a following online? Is it the same way with art, or is that world a little bit more obscure?
I think I would say a combination of both. Like, I think there's a degree of you can build up a following, you can kind of get discovered, but it's also similar in the same way where it's like blowing up to like super stardom, famedom, like any celebrity is born is just a combination of like weird luck and timing.
Right. Yeah.
Or whether you're just going to be like a hardworking comedian or artist or creative type who can make a decent living, but you know, you might not ever make it to that, like that level of, you know, selling work for millions of dollars. So I guess it's hard to say. I think it's probably both.
Yeah. I guess in the art world, is social media a huge aspect of it as it is in sort of music and comedy?
Yeah, I would say definitely. At least that's my opinion. I think because it's such a visual medium, at least what I do in, as far as art is such a visual medium, social media is really, it's at least helpful. And I think, you know, some people would argue with this, but I feel like if you don't have a social media presence, then you're not sort of legitimized or taken seriously as an artist. You know, there's definitely established artists who can do or make it without having to be on social media, but if you're trying to establish yourself in any way at this point, I think definitely. I mean, I've gotten a lot of jobs. I think most of the jobs that I've gotten are simply because I'm on Instagram.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like that's how you can not necessarily be like the biggest artist that all the collectors are after and yet make a really great living on it is sort of getting out there in that form.
Right.
What has been your journey to becoming the artist you are today? Where did you get your start?
Yeah, well, I've always been an artist. And ever since I was little, I've been making stuff with my hands, making weird paper things like figurines, models, anything, drawing. And as I moved through school, I didn't really take a ton of art classes, proper art classes, which I regret to some degree, not having that fundamental base, but I've kind of figured things out as I've gone along, which also I think there's a benefit to that. And then When I got to college, I went to school for fashion design, and then I quickly learned that it wasn't an industry where I saw myself. I didn't feel like it was exactly what I imagined, or I don't know. I also was raised by a social worker and a psychotherapist, so I feel like my parents are pretty left-leaning people. So I would say, like, they sort of instilled certain qualities in me that I couldn't see myself working in that industry. But I still wanted to do something creative. And I had this scholarship that required all these community service hours. And as a part of that, I kind of got connected with this organization called Express Yourself Milwaukee. It was founded by an art therapist here in Milwaukee. It's an affiliate of an organization that was based in Boston. And it was really about celebrating the power of the arts to change lives. And we worked with young people. And I worked with this organization as my community service. And again, you know, this was a scholarship program that I didn't stay in. I only was in the program for a year. But as a result, you know, I shifted the course of my academic experience and thus kind of my future in that way. And ended up with a degree in community arts and cultural development, which is a degree that I made up. It didn't exist before. And
they let you do that? You're like, this is what it is.
I had an advisor at the time who knew that I just needed to get out of school. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I just had gotten all that I could from the institution at that point. And like, and I was totally in agreement. Like, I just wanted to get out of there. And so she suggested that this was an option, and I just needed to kind of write the curriculum and validate it with, you know, different departments in the school. And that was viable. So that's what I did. I mean, and not to like make it seem like it was just to get out of school, but it was also like, I had like spent a lot of years in school, and I didn't want to lose all of that effort. I think I'm like going off on a weird.
Oh, no. It's but then you get out. And what was the moment where you're like, okay, I can be an artist full time and make a living doing it?
I think when I started doing murals, I realized that I could have a base source of income, kind of a bread and butter service that I or product that I could offer that would also allow me to sustain my life and also an art practice on the side. So doing the things that I want to be doing versus just the work jobs. Mm-hmm. And that was only, you know, that's only been in the last couple of years. I mean, I worked with this organization, Express Yourself Milwaukee, working with young people in corrections and all types of different places. So it was challenging work in that way, energetically and emotionally. And that I did that for like 12 years. So it was really only recently, like 2017, that I left that job and kind of took the risk and decided to do art full time or pursue art full time.
And that's, I feel like, a jump that a lot of artists, some never end up making it. Was it something that you were thought about for a while, or did you just kind of do it more on a whim, like woke up one day, like, I can't keep doing this? What was sort of the catalyst for you making that choice?
There was a really slow kind of crescendo to that point. Again, like I said, I worked with this organization for over 12 years, and it was through my college, you know, education. And then after I graduated, I was still with the same organization. So I felt like I had never really branched out and done anything else and really needed to. So it was a little bit of that. It was a little bit of burnout just from working in the nonprofit sector as a whole. It's just, you know, it's taxing. You're pulled in so many different directions, and you're never really able to do any one of those things like as well as you want to be doing. And I just wasn't doing anything creative at all, like for myself. And I knew that that wasn't going to work in the long run either. So it was kind of like all of these things built up. And then at some point I was like, yeah, I just need to get out of here before it's like really bad.
Yeah. Okay.
Not that I didn't like the job, but
right. No, but you felt your time had come there. But then you do jump out into this world of, okay, make it or break it. Did that put, too much pressure? What, were you okay with the pressure that put on, and how did that impact like your art, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it really forces you to figure shit out really quick. I have a kid as well, a 12-year-old. So at the time they were pretty young, and I felt the need to still provide some stability. I wasn't married at the time, you know, I was a single person. And I didn't have a ton of savings, you know, I mean, I was like working in nonprofit arts, like it pays, but wasn't paying a ton.
Right.
So, yeah. So it was really like, but I knew, I think what my previous job had taught me was how to figure shit out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing in nonprofit, like you have to wear a lot of hats and you have to learn things quickly and figure them out. So I knew, and I was confident in my own ability to do that. So I was able to at least say, if this doesn't work, I can get a job doing something else, you know? Right. And I'm not like so prideful that I wouldn't just find some whatever job, you know,
right.
Things didn't work out.
Right. But things obviously have. I always have a question, though, about like murals in particular. When you're, how do you start? Because you have this unique space that's not, I mean, your canvas is a wall. Do you sort of let the space dictate your art, or do you map it out before and it's very precise and something the average person walking by would never think about? How do you start on something like that?
Usually it is a conversation with the client, whatever that, you know, whether it's a community project or a business. Oftentimes people have some clue what they want to see, or they're seeking you out because they like your style. And then for me personally, and I'm sure this is different for every artist, I really like to consider the space, the environment that the mural is going to live in, the architecture of the building, the surface, you know, people who are walking by. I like to think about those things. Who's going to see it every day? What's the purpose of it? And then I kind of go from there. And you know, and as an artist, I work in a couple of different styles, you know, and mostly I work in two styles for murals, and they're both very graphic and stylized, and I use a lot of color. So that's kind of how I approach it. It's usually a pretty specific design. You know, I work that out. And then, yeah, come back to the client and say, this is what I'm thinking. And either I have to, you know, workshop it a little bit or straight to the runway.
Got it. And do you ever screw up on one of those things? And you, because I feel like that's how do you make it? So I know these are pretty like basic questions, but I've always wanted to know this. Like do you map it out on like a piece of paper first and then just amplify that? Or and is there a pretty easy, like, can you easily mess up an entire mural and have to start over?
So it's not, well, I don't think it's not easy to mess up, simply because when you're working that large, you're moving pretty slowly.
Right. Okay.
You catch those mistakes right away, which I've done. Like, you know, this is why I don't use a measured grid anymore, because you can very easily mess up which box you're in.
Yeah. Right.
And that gets, then that's annoying. But I use a method now to enlarge my images called a doodle grid. But there's a lot of different ways, like some artists, and it depends on where what location it's in. You know, a really easy way is to just simply project your image with a projector. So a lot of artists do that, you know, and it, to me, it feels like cheating sometimes, but sometimes it's like the easiest way to do it because you've already drawn it and then you just project it.
Yeah, right.
But then, you know, a grid method, which I think every kid learns, like probably how to draw a portrait in art school and like elementary school, using a grid where you have like, you know, your image and you grid it out into squares. And then each square represents like 1 foot or something on large scale. And then you can just, you work that way. And that's how you keep your proportions correct. But then the method that I really like using, which is called the doodle grid, which is way more fun, is you literally just paint doodles or whatever, you know, like smiley faces, letters, different shapes. And then you take a photo of that and then you superimpose your design over it so that you can see both of the layers. And then it offers a bunch of different reference points to kind of transfer your image, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does kind of make sense. I mean, I'm getting flashbacks to my art classes where I screwed up royally, actually. Yeah, we lost all hope of me being an artist almost right away in first grade. I had a hard time with stick people, but you know, anyway, that's me. Where can people see your murals right now? Are there any buildings that you're currently on?
Yeah, so in the Milwaukee area, I've got a really, the biggest mural that I've ever done is 4,000 square feet. It's on West Wisconsin Avenue, like 7th and Wisconsin, on the side of a Dunkin' Donuts.
Nice, you got the Dunkin' side.
Yeah, that's right. They even did a donut with my mural on it.
Ooh. So
it was really crazy.
That's pretty cool. So when you get, and that was commissioned by Dunkin'?
No, it was that was actually commissioned by Milwaukee Downtown. So Bid 21 did an open call for that one. But it was done in conjunction with or in partnership with the building owner, who's the Dunkin' Donuts owner.
Got it. And when you do a mural in a city like that, especially down, you know, that's right downtown Milwaukee, you become like part of that city, I think. I mean, I remember when I was a kid driving on 43 and seeing like the whales on the side of the mural of the whales on the side of the freeway, and that like becomes part of the city. What is that pressure for you, or do you feel that like when you're about to like that might cause me so much paralysis I would never create anything again? I have trouble with stick figures, but you know what I'm saying, that would be a lot of pressure. Do you feel right. That pressure?
Yeah, I think, well, the pressure comes in different ways, because every time I start a new project, I think like, how am I doing this? How are they letting me do this? Like, these people are trusting me to paint on this wall. And so before like the first like brush stroke is ever laid down, I still feel that way. I still feel that anxiety of like, I could totally F up this wall.
Yeah.
You know? And like, that's, you know, it's just me. But yeah, I mean, there's also the pressure of, you know, creating something that the community is going to respond to and enjoy. And that's like an important aspect of it to me. But I also find it like a really great honor. So it's also what's exciting about it. So it's like, it's equally energizing. You know, I think I talk about access to art a lot and the importance of access to arts, of all types of arts. But, you know, because I'm a visual artist, obviously, like, this is one way that I feel like art can live in the community in different ways that all people can enjoy it. And I think that's one of the coolest parts about public art and murals.
What is the mural that you are most proud of that you've done to date?
Oh, man. I think it's probably, it's different ones for different reasons, but I think I just did one this year at Bayshore up in Glendale that's in the rotunda. And it's one that I'm really proud of because I was able to involve a bunch of different artists. It's a multidimensional mural, so it's more like an installation where I took one of my paintings that was more of an abstract painting. And I blew it up, and then I kind of pulled out different brush strokes from it and created three-dimensional shapes. You know, there's cut acrylic pieces, there's a neon piece, there's lighting features, there's bent metal work, you know, and I was able to work with, you know, a couple of different artists, local artists, to make that happen. And that was a really fun process. And I love projects like that where it allows me to kind of play and engage, or, you know, there's often like other artists that I want to work with And, you know, I don't necessarily know exactly what that's going to be or what that looks like, but it, you know, the opportunity or the projects that allow me those opportunities are always really fun.
Yeah. And that brings up another point of like the art scene in Milwaukee. What is the scene like here? Is it thriving? Is there anything you wish for it?
I think it's on the up. I think it's growing in a really positive way. I am part of a community called VAR, VAR Collective. There are two buildings and that house a bunch of different artists, maybe like 70 artists, and several different gallery spaces within. And I feel like there are more artist communities like that developing and popping up in Milwaukee. And I think that's a really positive thing because it means that more artists are seeing a place for themselves here and that there are opportunities. And that even though Milwaukee isn't a huge city, we can sustain and support creatives, you know, in creating a life. So I think it's definitely growing in that way. And I think it's very, you know, community driven in that there's a lot of like sort of cross pollination with these different groups that I think is helpful. I think people are more into sharing ideas and sharing resources than perhaps in the past. And maybe that's just been the last couple of years, the necessity of having to share resources. I don't know.
Is there something that you think that the Milwaukee art scene could use that it doesn't have now to help create this, strengthen this scene?
I think as a whole, Milwaukee needs, and I don't know if this is the art community specifically, but maybe art patrons or funders of art. I think more risks need to be taken. I think Milwaukee is kind of, there's a ton of potential here. And I think I've always felt this way about Milwaukee. It's like, we're like a city of a ton, like tons of potential. But then we miss all these opportunities because we're too afraid to take a risk. Mm. And I think that's true with art.
With art here as well. Why do you think that is? Why do you think is it the culture here?
I think it's a little bit of the culture. I think it's a little bit of just like Midwestern mentality of like, I don't know. We're like not edgy enough.
Yeah. There is a little bit of safeness.
We're just slow to make those changes happen. So I don't know. You know, it's like the mural scene, for example, it's a good example of that. Like we've just now gotten excited about murals or gotten excited about street art, and more businesses and more communities are accepting of it, seeing it as a benefit to their community or something that's adding value versus like, that's an eyesore or, you know, it's trashy or whatever, you know. And I think we're just warming up to that, like in the last 5 years, whereas like other cities on the coast have been, you know, celebrating street art for decades.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like fashion and a lot of other things are a little bit, they trickle into sort of the Midwest, a little bit insulated from that. But do you think there's any art form that sort of bred here that sort of dictates maybe the rest of the, or different art pockets would look and say, no, that's a very Midwest specific form of art. It's kind of a cool thing that they do mostly in the Midwest. Is there anything like that here? That silence and that look on your face kind of tell me everything. Well, could there be something like that? Like what?
Quilting.
Well, there you go. You know, that little crochet, you know?
No, like I think of like those quilt, like those decorative quilts, which I mean, nothing against quilts either. There can be really fantastic contemporary looking ass quilts, but.
Yeah, my grandma quilts. She's pretty good at it. She made me one. Yeah. I'll let her know, you know? But do you think like what's, you know, in LA or in New York, for instance, those are like art scenes and you see a lot of art start there and like fads are start there. What prevents that from happening in the Midwest? What prevents there from being something cool and innovative that is created here and this becomes the epicenter of that?
I think creative communities feed each other. Mm-hmm. So art, music, you know, performing arts, it's all of those things being together in the same space, but a lot of diversity and variety of options, you know, whereas I feel like there's just fewer, it's just smaller here. There's not as many people to cross collaborate with, you know, it's like, because I also think to a degree that competitive like edge that's needed to kind of push yourself creatively.
Yeah.
It's harder to find or experience that here. You kind of have to like create it for yourself.
Yeah, it's sort of like a lot of times artists leave because they want to be around the other artists and get that creative edge, especially the most ambitious artists. So it's kind of like doing as you're doing, saying, no, I'm going to stay and I'm going to find these creative things here. Is that what it takes, more people to stay and to create here what they hope to get as they leave? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. I think so for sure. But I think also we have to support artists in doing that, you know, and providing opportunities. Otherwise, you know, artists aren't going to stick around.
And what does that look like? Does that look like commissioning more city projects or businesses, you know, wanting a mural on the side of their building? What are ways people can support art?
Yeah, I think it's all of the above. I think it's commissioning more art. It's finding more ways to collaborate with artists. It's also just, it's even just validating that art and artists, that's a career path that you can take. You know, I think so many times we hear stories of artists being taken advantage of, you know, where it's like, oh, you can design something and win the opportunity to have it displayed on some businesses like thing, you know, where it's like a contest situation where it's like they're not paying any artists and then they're getting free content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus so shifting, I think part of it is shifting that mentality just in our communities, in our society, of artists are bringing something of value to the table and that they should be compensated fairly for it. I think that's totally possible. And I think there's people that believe that out there. It's just a matter of finding them.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, I guess it is a cultural thing, too, or a safe. I mean, if things are going to be cut in schools, if schools tighten their budget, the first thing that always goes is art and the arts, music, that kind of thing, because people view them as unnecessary. And yet on the weekends or anytime we need to like take a break, the first thing we do is we turn to art in some form. Right. So is it a sort of like an underlying mental thing that saying like recreation or you know, appreciating art is a necessity, not a luxury. Like, I think we view it as a luxury, and therefore, when we're trying to save, that's what we go after is the luxury. But do you think it's more of a necessity? And if so, how do we let that come into the culture and be known in the culture? You know,
100%. I think it is a necessity. I think people need to express themselves. People need to learn how to express themselves. I think, you know, again, not every person is meant to be a professional artist and make a career out of it, but every person can be an artist. You know, every person has the ability to be creative in some capacity, and that there's value in that, and there's importance in celebrating that. And I think some people need help doing that too. And, you know, it's like, I mean, again, going back to like, this is getting a little off tangent, but you know, the reason that I like to paint on site, you know, part of why murals make sense to me is that I'm not doing it somewhere in my studio hiding away. You know, you're in a place where people in the community can see you at work. you know, young people, kids can walk by and ask questions and they can see an artist doing something. It demystifies the process, but it also validates that this is a career option, or this is, you know, it I feel like it's more inspiring to see people doing their thing rather than, you know, just seeing the end result. And I don't know, I got a little off.
No, I'm glad you brought it up. Go ahead. I've cut you off.
No, it's okay. I think that's all I really wanted to say.
Well, as a muralist, you kind of have if I'm thinking of it from a comedy perspective, you are on a huge stage, you know, and like that stage being a city, you know, and so many people watch what you create as you create it, which is that's a part I've never really thought about, that as you create it. But and then, of course, once it's done and once people see it, you're inspiring, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, especially over time. Okie dokes, folks, excuse the interruption, but I want to tell you about the pride of Random Lake, Wisconsin. That's Jolly Good Soda, the best gosh darn soda this side of the Mississippi. It is so good, I put it in every single brandy old fashioned I got, but it's also good for a midday treat. And if you're looking where to get it, just go to any grocery store in Wisconsin and you ask the manager, hey, where's the Jolly Good? He'll point it to you. If you're not in Wisconsin, you can order it from jollygoodsoda.com. Folks, I also want to shout out another great Wisconsin company. That's Duluth Trading Company, featuring the Double Flex Denim. Double Flex Denim gives you double the flexibility of regular jeans, plus the built-in crouch gusset. Okay, it's the most freeing denim you've ever worn. So set your spirit and your nether regions soaring. Finally, we got the holidays coming up, and what better gift to give your loved ones than something that says, watch out for deer, or ope, or keep her moving, or a cribbage board. We got dice cups. We got a whole bunch of stuff. We even got ugly Christmas sweaters up there. One says, watch out for reindeer. Another says, ope Christmas tree. We got fishing lures and the whole deal. Everything for all your loved ones this holiday season. It's made in the U.S. and printed in Wisconsin, and you can find it on KripesCast.com. Is there a mural that you look to as like the gold standard, or a mural that inspired you to do murals?
No.
What inspired you to go that direction?
There are artists that I definitely like am blown away by their work. And I think, you know, like, let's see, artists like Findak is one. There's this artist, Lauren YS, their name is Squid Liquor. They go by Squid Liquor, but like
fantastic,
yeah. Artists like that, where it's like, and they have two very different styles, but you know, Case McClain is another one. It's like what they're doing just like blows my mind in terms of like their ability to work at that scale with that amount of detail. Cause I know that I will never be able to do that, but it's, inspiring. I think what made me, and I didn't become familiar with their work until after I was kind of starting to get into murals. But I think just seeing other artists, I think Black Hat Alley was probably what inspired me. And that was like in, you know, in our own community. When that first started, I kind of got connected with Stacy, the organizer, and helped out a little bit with their fundraiser. You know, the initial kind of when they installed the first murals, saw some of the artists who were working there, and that just was like, that was super inspiring to me. I was like, I want to do that. I want to paint large scale. That looks super fun. And also just like, they look cool. Like I want to look, like, I want to look cool. But it's really hard work. And so I set that as a goal. Like I'm going to do that at some point and figure it out how to make it happen.
Yeah. On the note of like supporting arts culture in the Midwest, we both work with Duluth a little bit. And what sort of, how have they helped you, and how could it be like a model for maybe how other businesses can help support arts in the same way?
Yeah, well, what I love about Duluth is that they really work, they use their platform to elevate the stories of what people are doing, you know, and
Right.
myself as a creative, like that was such a cool thing to have this organization or this company come in and then really look at what I was doing, be interested in that story, and then promote it along with their own products. You know, they really like looked at how those things worked together versus trying to fit one or the other into. And it was just a really great time. I mean, like they're awesome people to work with. So in that way, it was a lot of fun. It was easy. And I think, you know, it's a great way, it's a great idea to do that. You know, I think more companies should be.
Focusing on that. Yeah. And as you kind of look forward now, do you have a project on the line that you're very excited about, or one that you really wish you could go, or like a mural that you think Milwaukee absolutely needs? And what would it be?
There's so many walls in the city that are like opportunities. There's one project coming up that I'm excited about, but I haven't like gotten it yet. So
Okay.
I don't think I should jinx myself.
Okay.
But I'll say like it's there's a children's garden going in at Borner Botanical, and the plans are so cool and it's going to be pretty awesome when it's done. It's set to open next year, and I'm currently bidding on a project to work with them to do some painting in that space. So,
Very cool.
yeah.
Nice. Now that you brought that up, like that there are so many blank wall, is there like a wall that you pass every time and you're like, how is there not a mural on this thing right now? Like, what's, do you ever see one of those?
There's, yeah. But now that you're asking me,
You're
like,
like, I
I'm
can't
totally
think.
blank because there's like every time I'm driving around, I'm like, oh, that's a good wall. That's a good wall. And there's like, you know, whatever obstacles. I think, you know what I would really love? You know, like a powwow kind of situation. I don't know if you're familiar with like crush walls or powwow. But there are organizations that do these big mural festivals in their cities. And it would be super cool for Milwaukee. And that's like a cool way to fill a lot of these blank spaces and bring in, you know, with sponsors, you bring in artists from out of town as well as like engaging local artists. And it's like a big event, you know. And I do think that that's something that Milwaukee needs and I can see happening here.
Yeah, I can see it happening too because I do shows, and when I tour around, like I'm just thinking Austin, Miami as well. Both of them, those are the two that come to mind right now, but they both have like mural parks, you know, and that becomes a tourist destination. It's on one of the things, like 50 things to do in this city. You know, you go ch or you go on a mural tour. It's great for Instagram, you know, like you take a picture in front of it. I'm sure that's what you want to hear as an artist. But you know, you have these things, and then they do, it's a pretty simple way to elevate surrounding businesses. So, and that's kind of how I always think of like framing it to like get it, make something happen. It's like, how can we make money off this art, you know? But I think if people see that, it's pretty much a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Is that how you kind of frame like, hey, we could get this art project because you can make a lot of money if we
Yeah.
do
I
it,
mean,
you know?
I try to see it from every angle. Like, what are the benefits to each of these parties involved to make it happen? I mean, that's usually how I operate in terms of like trying to get, you know, trying to make projects that I want to make happen. Sure.
If not for murals, what's your favorite form of art outside of murals?
Well, I don't know that murals are my favorite form of art, to
What
be
is your
honest.
favorite form of art then?
They're a good thing to be doing because it's like I
It's
do
money.
enjoy painting large scale. I don't want that to be the only thing that I'm doing. It's great because it's like built-in publicity and marketing for your name and your brand as an artist. But I mean, I'm a painter. I wasn't originally a painter. Obviously, like as in fashion, I was into sewing, fabric, soft sculpture, fibers and that kind of thing. But I honestly feel like I'm still trying to figure it out. I've been doing a lot of painting now. And then, you know, like since I became a mother, I painted more because it was easier. It felt like more accessible or like easy to paint than like, you know, pull out a bunch of materials with a little kid running around. But I don't know. I maintain a studio practice in Walker's Point. And you know, my studio is there. It's mostly painting, but I have like each area set up for like, you know, playing with fabric, playing with different materials, playing with sculpture. I think I definitely want to dabble more in sculpture and installation art. So I don't know. Do I have to have a
Yeah,
favorite
you do
thing?
have to have a favorite, otherwise we can't end this podcast. Yes. Hey, with your it's your daughter, you said? Yeah.
Well, they were born as a girl, but they have chosen non-binary,
Got it.
so they use they and theirs.
So, like, you have your childhood experience with art, right? Like, how have you taken your childhood experience with art and said, I want to do this? Because as a parent, you always want to do it better, right? I think, are there some things that you're doing to encourage them to do art? Are you not putting any pressure on it at all? Like, how do you do that? And then also follow up question, more important, are you judging their painting at all? And you can be honest about it. You can.
Okay, so well, first, yes, I think I'm trying to help cultivate art skills in them, but only like I don't push them. I'm not like the parent who's like, you have to do this or you have to, you know, I encourage them in whatever they're interested in, but they're also naturally just creative, and like way smarter than I am, like, and way better at music and language. So I don't know what creative road they'll go down in the future, but they are definitely creative. They're definitely an artist. They probably wouldn't self-identify as that and would probably be really embarrassed if I like was, you know, touting their work around, but like they do some pretty awesome stuff. And then, you know, I would say like they used to come to the studio with me and be excited about, you know, playing with materials because it's like it's a wonderland. There's everything there. And now they're like they could care less. They don't want to have anything to do with.
You know, kids these
They're really
days.
unimpressed too with like anything that I do.
Well, you're their mother, and so that makes sense. You know, that it's about
Yeah.
the age for that. Cool. Is there anything that you would say to an aspiring artist today? Any advice you'd give them?
I would say to an aspiring artist, do what you really enjoy doing. Create what you love to create. Don't worry about other people. And don't worry about there being some like correct way to do things. You know that everyone's path, especially as artists and creatives, is very, very different. And one person's success looks totally different than someone else's. And the timeline is totally different. So I think, you know, just getting out of that like comparison trap and really just doing what you keep creating what you want to be doing. 'Cause I think people respond to that authenticity and they'll see it in your work. So I think that's probably my biggest. And then also take risks, obviously. I mean, don't be afraid because like what's the worst thing that could happen?
You fail and everybody laughs at you.
Yeah, except nobody's gonna laugh at you.
Not on the outside, maybe on the inside. That's what you. No,
Maybe.
I'm just I'm kidding. These are the voices that every artist plays in their head. They'll laugh. Yeah. All right, folks, that's it for this week's episode of the Cripes Cast. Make sure you follow Daisy on Instagram. That's at EMMADAISY. And you can also follow the Cripes Cast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's at Cripes Cast. Thank you all for listening. Keep her moving. And I mean this with love. Watch out for deer. All right, real good. See you next time. Bye-bye.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin, the Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.